Produced at CFIS-FM in Prince George, Health First is available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
We've been talking to Gustavo Ferrer, MD. He's the author of Graceful Exit. And we've just been talking about the living will, to have the living will written up and done. Was there anything you wanted to add to that? Over 18, it's a good idea for everybody. Do you have any other encouragement?
Sure. You know, I think it is important that people understand the difference between the documents, the living will, and the implications of the document. It is important that for people that have children and they're responsible for somebody else, elderly parents or aunts or friends, it is important that they looked into other documents like a trust, which are legal documents that will help them guide through the process of inheritance and all this. Basically, we talk about those documents in the book for the single reason that they can have an enormous weight into disputes and problems, fixing disputes and problems in family that can be prevented if those documents are available. With the living will, it is a simple document, and I think almost everybody should have one of those. It is simple to understand. It is important to if we do not have the clear answers for the question that it posed, that we go to our doctor, to somebody that understands healthcare-related issues, and find people that help us, people that are willing to help all around, help us understand the document a little bit better, and trying to, you know, to have them ready. And communicate that to the people that will help you make decision in case you are incapacitated or at the end of life.
Mm-hmm. And so with that in place, when we do have to confront the death of a loved one and that we're coming into it, it's a lot of emotional work. It's a lot of energy spent. And how do we balance that? How do we take care of ourselves when the time is so limited with a loved one?
That is an excellent question. I opened my book with a chapter about family dynamics, and family dynamics are nothing more than the expressions, the emotional expressions of how people respond different to stress and how people respond different to this incredible situations that surprise people most of the time. So I always tell my patients that first we need to understand that most of the reactions are charged by emotions. So if we understand that, we can extend grace to the people that surround us. We're going to have people that respond to stress with anger, others respond with peace and grace. We have people that respond by running away. Other people respond by being extremely organized. So we need to understand that most of these things, in general, for the great majority of people, are just emotional responses to the overwhelming situation that they are facing. That's the first thing that I always tell my patients. Number two, it is important to ask the doctor, when we talk about the open-ended question, ask the doctor about prognosis and time, because people need to take care of themselves. They need to sleep. Caregivers are getting stressed out, and they are getting disease and process, disease issues when they are spending days and days in the intensive care unit because they are not sleeping, because they are not eating well. So those basic things, we need to keep them in mind. And number three, I tell people, surround yourself by people that want to help you, friends, family, social groups, churches, anybody that want to extend a hand and use them. Please take care, use those people that want to help you and take care of yourself. It is important because caregivers are going to be there through the long run of the disease, and they need to take care of themselves.
Mm-hmm. And Gustavo, you must have people coming to you now, knowing that I know in Canada here you can choose to go out. If you know you're going out soon anyway, you can line it up so that you can have a shot. And that is the end of life. Are you running into that a lot now too?
No, actually not. The circles and all the places that I move, whether medical or not, people are not talking about that here.
Okay. So it's coming. Usually the U.S. is way ahead of Canada in and all those kind of things. So that hasn't been, that's not covered in your book at all, the choosing to go.
No, it's not covered there.
Okay. And do you have any wisdom about choosing hospice care over advanced medical treatment, or when and how, and how to let go of that loved one?
That is an excellent question. Yes, we do. We talk about hospice. We talk about the nursing homes and the places people were going to go and should go. Research shows that we're choosing hospice care and palliative care way too late, basically in the last days or usually weeks or days before people pass away. And hospice and palliative system, which is the same connotations of the specialty, they offer tremendous support. They offer tremendous expertise to people going through these end-of-life issues. In recent years, we have studies showing that people that have terminal disease, that doctors and the system have said that their life expectancy is limited, let's say, to 3 months, and they go early into hospice care, they launch themselves into this palliative process of helping them. They live longer than was expected because they change entirely their focus to just caring and supporting rather than healing and finding failure through that process when the disease is terminal. So choosing early and enrolling in palliative care, it is always advisable and is helpful. And, I have stories in the book of my own family, even from my own culture, we did not grasp that idea and would reject it most of the time. And in my own family, my father-in-law passed away in hospice in my home, and it was a humongous, beautiful experience. It wasn't traumatic, and he was not in the hospital, and we fulfilled his wishes. He didn't want to spend his last day in the hospital surrounded by people he didn't know and full of needles that he did not like. So it is engaging early in that. It is extremely helpful.
Mm-hmm. So from the time we come in at birth, which is a big celebration, we know that we've all got to go out the other end, another celebration. If we can get to that thought process, that it's not all bad.
That is exactly right. There's a section in the book that I call it the event that nobody wants to plan, and we want to plan that event because it unfortunately has implications that can be dangerous for families and friends and once we leave this planet.
Mm-hmm. So to help. Start the conversation now in our families about each one of us and what would we like. It's a good conversation opener at the dinner table.
It is. It's a conversation. There is a movement in Europe today that their people call it. They're talking about end of life and coffee. And families go to coffee shops and they talk about this and they use resources available, similar to my book, to talk and plan about it. And it is a growing movement. Somehow in America, it's a little bit lack of delay. But in North America, I think it will soon catch up because people are coming to realize that it's a necessity. North America, U.S. and Canada included, we have a very we have a large population that is aging quickly, and we all are confronted with that. Statistically speaking, in North America, 3 out of 5 adults that they are 40 and older, they are taking care of somebody today or helping somebody today that is at the end of life or they have chronic diseases or terminally ill patients. So it is important to engage in this understanding. Whether we are in North in U.S. or Canada, the future of health care, it is basically engaging the population and teaching the population to help us advance in any of these areas. So I think medicine has grown tremendously in technology, but we have grown very little in communication with the general population and educating our patients and family.
Mm-hmm. And at what point do we decide that the heroics of the medical system should be let go? That's just something that the family has to decide. As a physician, you choose to do all the heroics you can to keep people alive as long as the family wants?
In general, most doctors today, I'm speaking for the critical care doctors, they are eager to engage with family when they do understand that all heroic measures are just pointing toward failure and they are futile. And this is a topic that family needs to keep their minds open. I think if we look, history tells us that unfortunately the overwhelming emphasis on advanced technology and the great things that medicine can do that we do not and will never deny, this actually has overshadowed the limitations of life. And so patients and family come to us with the perception that something heroic or something off label, some new medication will save them, when in reality it is not like that. So, but doctors are eager to talk about that, primarily in the critical care world and in the emergency room doctors. So I think it is important to be open-minded to listen to those clues when the doctors and the healthcare professional with full of compassion and trying to communicate that, you know, the end is approaching, so that we can just switch toward more palliative, toward more comfort than aggressive treatments and measures that will actually sometimes and most of the time shorten life rather than extend it.
Absolutely. And it can help the medical system too, not to go into overtime with the waste too.
Absolutely. We in the northern in North America, we invest in the last few days of life, we invest an enormous amount of money that can even help us cover many other things that we need in our own system, but also extend that to helping other countries and other places as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, Gustavo, it's been great to have you on our program today and to teach us some of the things we can get in place. Communication sounds like the top of the list with friends, family, loved ones ahead of time. But the book is fantastic. There's so many good points that we can have. And I just wanted to thank you and let everybody know the book is through Sounds True, A Graceful Exit.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Okay. Great to have you on the show. Bye-bye. We're going to have, after the break, we're going to have A Colorful Kitchen with Eileen Godofsky-Marino.